He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
That was a good hello. Hello, everyone out there in SNU land. It is He Said, She Said. It is February 2016. We are looking for trouble. How about you, Trace?
It's always hanging over my shoulder.
When you're living in the place where we live, with a health consciousness, we're always getting into trouble, aren't we? We're always stirring the pot, and people are always coming at us with different ideas and themes, and we find, as you know, Trace, that people are very resistant to change, and sometimes they don't want to change, even if they're suffering. Isn't that right?
That's right.
So what's cooking, my dear?
What's cooking, and in lieu of Valentine's Day, because this is our February issue, I'm going to talk about hearty red fruit crumble, and I'm going to be making one this weekend as well. A great, big, beautiful batch of it. It's so good. The color red, which is my favorite color, has long been associated with strength, health, and passion. Very interesting. These elements are necessary components for a well-rounded person. Well, there you have it. As passion resides and radiates through the color red, be sure to choose foods with a vivacious red hue. They'll keep you healthy, strong, and beautiful. So let's give a couple examples of red foods. I've got beets, radishes, tomatoes, red peppers, and the list goes on and on and on. So get lots of red colors into your diet. And the red fruits are especially loaded with beneficial plant compounds called phytochemicals that preserve your health in many ways. Phytochemicals can keep your brain agile as you age. Think I better start eating a few more. Guard against heart disease, cancer, ease arthritis, and ward off urinary tract infections and ulcers. So the pigment is all called lycopene. It's an antioxidant that helps neutralize uncontrolled free radical activity in the body. And lycopene belongs to a large family of fat-soluble carotenoids, and it protects neurons associated with memory and reduces the risk of certain forms of cancer. So it's really important to get that red color in. Now, I just want everyone to know that this hearty red fruit crumble is on our website at coreyhawley.com, and it's under, if you click articles, and then on the side, it says recipes. It will be on the recipe. So just scroll down until you find the red fruit crumble.
Another way to get there, too, just while we're on that topic, is when you get to the website, at the top right, okay, you'll see search in blue. Just click search, and then a menu will drop down. Type in whatever it is you're looking for, and it will find it within seconds. That's also a quick way to find anything
on the site.
Well,
that's even quicker. You can look through all the recipes. So I've got some really great recipes there. And the good news is I use buckwheat in this particular recipe. I just love the taste of buckwheat. It's got a really nice, nutty flavor. And buckwheat is gluten-free. That's the beauty of it. Who would have thought, because sometimes when you hear the word buckwheat, you think wheat. But buckwheat and wheat are from completely different botanical families. Buckwheat is derived from the seeds of a flowering plant, so it's not considered a grain or a cereal. And it's gluten-free, and it's closely related to rhubarb. In addition, it's got an excellent source of fiber and nutrients. In particular, buckwheat groats, the small triangular seeds that we used to grind. Remember that? We grind ours. It offers about 17 grams of dietary fiber, or 68% of the daily requirement. So it's got a wonderful 22 grams of protein. So there you have it.
Remember Johnny Cash, the song Boy Named Sue?
Yeah.
If I wanted to be really mean to someone, I would name them gluten.
Oh. Instead of buckwheat? Wasn't there
yes.
a kid called buckwheat? Yeah.
I think in one of those old TV
Little
shows.
Little Rascals.
Yeah, Little Rascals,
Little Rascals.
Buckwheat.
Buckwheat.
Yeah. Imagine being called gluten.
Yeah. Now, I've used buckwheat a lot. I mean, for me, I've used coconut flour. I've used amaranth. I've used chickpea. I've used them all. I particularly like the buckwheat, though, for as much as I do bake now. I don't bake that much anymore, but just on occasion. And when I do, I give a lot of it away. Otherwise, I will eat it, which is nothing wrong with that, of course. However, everyone just really likes that flavor of buckwheat. And they always say, what kind of wheat did you use in here? What kind of flour did you use, actually? And they go, oh, but is that gluten-free? I says, yes, it's gluten-free. So just check out on that recipe on the website, and you're going to find that I use a lot of wonderful, you can use red cherries, strawberries, raspberries, huckleberries. There's freshly squeezed orange juice in this recipe, unpasteurized honey. There's coconut palm sugar. You can use coconut oil, ghee, or unsalted butter. It's just a fantastic, beautiful recipe. And if you have crumble left over, the actual crumble, then you can freeze it and use it again at another time. So you can double the recipe. You can cut the recipe in half. It's just a really wonderful, delicious treat for everybody. You can top it with fresh whipping cream. Use full-fat whipping cream that you make yourself if you're going to use it. Or you can use vanilla yogurt. Use the best quality of everything if you possibly can. But I know you're going to enjoy it, and we, Corey, are going to enjoy it this weekend. That's your Valentine present.
Well, I like it when you experiment on me, and especially when you repeat the experiments, as any good scientist should, to determine whether or not the outcome is viable. Mm-hmm. But I also want to mention the fresh whipped cream. You know, when you get cream has been undermined by marketing and the fat phobia consciousness, but cream actually goes way back to the original diets of men after they had learned to domesticate animals. And cream and the fat is where the fat-soluble nutrients were. Nobody was consuming fat-free or skim milk back in the day. It was just they treasured the fat. The fat was revered. That's where health and healing and energy was. So get your really super high-quality, heavy fat cream and whip it up and enjoy that. And don't ruin it. Don't destroy it by adding sugar to it. You don't need it. Because it's that sugar that ruins everything.
I sometimes add like a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract to it, which kind of gives it a nice flavor. You can add pure vanilla extract, a little cinnamon on there as well, just a little bit. But you don't need anything, absolutely. I know you like it with nothing in it, but I have made it with the vanilla extract and cinnamon in it, and you quite liked it.
When you add something to something else in the field of whole food cooking, just is the thing that you're adding whole, clean, real? Is it health destroying or health elevating? That's all you have to ask yourself, because you can take something that will ruin your whole recipe by adding it in, which is what sucrose and sugar does to any recipe. It ruins the quality of the food.
Exactly. There's lots of sweetened alternatives that you can use as well. Like I like the unpasteurized honey. I mean, you can use blackstrap molasses. You can use a coconut sugar. There's stevia. There's all types of things that you can use, or nothing at all. You can just train your taste buds, right, which we're going to talk about later on. But anyway, the hearty red fruit crumble, try it on for Valentine's Day. I'm sure that everybody will really enjoy it.
Good. And that was good for the time of year, February. So get your loving on out there, everybody, and get something sweet happening between your lovey-dovey and you. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Stephanie Seneff. Dr. Seneff is a senior research scientist at the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. She has a BS degree in biophysics, and she has a lot of degrees. She's just an absolute wizard, this woman. And in recent years, Dr. Seneff has focused her research interest towards biology, concentrating mainly on the relationship between nutrition and health. And this is why you got her on the SNU. So since 2011, she's written over 24 papers in various medical and health-related journals on topics such as modern-day diseases and the impact of nutritional deficiencies and environmental toxins on the human health. And one of her main focuses today is the cause of autism. That's her main focus in research. And a lot of it has to do with the active ingredient in Roundup Ready, which is glyphosate. That's what she's really, really interested in, and how it's disrupting the human body. And it's chronic and it's insidious, and you're not aware what's happening to your body over time, but we've been eating this food with this ingredient in Roundup for years.
Yeah, it's insidious and somewhat invisible. It's like gases that destroy the neurons in the brain. Most of them are invisible. So there's a lot of factors in life that you can't see, feel, touch. And because of that, people don't take notice or they're not aware of them. And this is where science comes in. And she's a science hound. She is dedicated. I mean, she's a math wizard. She's studied physics, biology, biochemistry, computers. And she's at MIT. She's a professor. She's well known. And I asked her, why the interest in food and biology? She says, because I'm not a computer. I'm a real person with real children, with a real husband. And we are as susceptible to toxicity in the environment as anyone else. So she's got the same problem that you and I, Trace, have, where most of her friends, colleagues, teachers, professors are not into health at all. Could care less. They don't care what they eat. They don't think about what they eat. They don't think about the effects of not exercising. They live in an entirely different world where she does. And that's why I reached out to her and she responded. A really ethical person.
With the rise of ADHD, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, diabetes, autism, and gut disorders, the list goes on, has a lot to do with the food, the GMO, and the Roundup Ready, the glyphosate. A lot of it has to do with this, right? And she was just saying how the world's gone mad, and it's hard to escape the madness, she said. It's in the water, it's in the air, it's in the manure, it's in organic food, it's everywhere. So you just try to do the best you can. And I just thought it was interesting about you asked her what she did. And she says she eats a lot of garlic and onions for the sulfur source. I'm going, yippee, we are so on the right track. Garlic and onions, everybody, the king and queen. Garlic is king and onions are queen. So get a lot of them into your diet, cooked and raw. And she also has Epsom sulfate baths. She said it's a really good way to heal the body and help the blood flow. And sulfur is a missing link today in people's health.
Sulfur is the beauty mineral. It's an essential element. It's identified on the periodic table. What she remarked that I thought was interesting, and I've wondered about this too, like something like potassium or sulfur, there's no minimum, there's no recommended amount. There's just sort of a generalized focus on it. But you get into magnesium or calcium or even vitamin D, and there's these specific quantities. But with sulfur, there's no minimum or maximum or any amount that's recommended. But we do know it's essential. So it's a neglected mineral. And isn't it interesting how this brainiac is all over sulfur and suggests bathing in it, you know, these Epsom salts?
That would be just the regular Epsom salts that you buy at the drugstore or the grocery store. Is there any specific type of Epsom salt? I mean, I've used Epsom salts to soak in.
You know, Epsom salts are not organic. They're inorganic elements. They're like rocks that are in
yes.
a soluble form. So
yes.
like rocks from the earth, like sea salt, you know, salt and things that come from the earth. They're not all organic. Many of them are inorganic. But this is interesting because epigenetics is about understanding the environment's effect on your health. So if you soak in a bath with Epsom salt or go into these springs that have high levels of magnesium and sulfur, you're actually feeding the body, not through the mouth, but the skin is absorbing it. So it's a kind of nutrition that's getting into the body through the skin. And that's what she likes to do. That's her favorite way. And you got to give her credit for seeing through the conventional approach and saying, okay, what if we just like soak in this stuff and what effect sulfur has on softening hard tissue? And it's supposed to be fantastic. Well, it is. For the skin,
well, I mean, yeah,
and the
for
heart
sure.
and the arteries.
I have my baths and I soak in Epsom salts. So go and have a little garlic and onions and soak in a sulfur bathtub. You got it made. And it's good for the skin. It's a beauty treatment as well.
Definitely.
And because it gets the blood flowing. It gets the blood flowing. So therefore, it's going to beautify the skin, right? And the skin is the largest organ, right? One of the largest breathing organs. So there you have it. And I thought was really interesting, which we have discussed this before, is even the bees get Alzheimer's. They lose their way.
Yes, that made me laugh when she said that, but it's
yeah,
not funny.
I know.
But it was Len that brought that out. He said, ask her about what's happening to the bees. And so she confirmed the fact that this glyphosate, this chemical in Roundup, is probably responsible. Like, she likes to understand causality which every good scientist does. And that can take years. But also, like I was just reading about Fleming and his discovery that in tears and the saliva of our mouth, there is an enzyme called lysozyme, which is an antiseptic. It kills bacteria. A tear dropped down on some bacteria, and that's how he began his research that led to the mold and penicillin. But he was a loner and didn't have the resources and the teams of people that they have today to actually bring out what we now take for granted as penicillin. So it was other people in other parts of the world that also started working on it. And this is what we need today. We need to have lots of money and resources and scientists all working on what's causing it so they can find out, then we can make the changes.
Well, absolutely. Her suggestion was buy organic. Buy as much organic as possible and make it so that the farmers will benefit from it, because the farmers will farm organic if there is need for it, right? Supply the demand. And if the demand is there, they will start farming more organic. But it was funny, you had also asked her about Wikipedia. You did a Wikipedia search on her, and it made her, you know, the quacks. So I say hooray for the quacks. The quacks are the ones who are making a difference, right?
Yeah, like for the speed of light, or if you want to look up Newton's three laws, or, you know, the speed of sound, that these things just come to mind, go to Wikipedia. But when it comes to alternative, functional, integrative medicine, there is definite bias and prejudice, and the entire field is undermined by the conventional view that it has no value. And that prejudice and bias comes through. She even talked about she went and changed what was wrong, what was deceptive, what was intentionally put on about her. She changed it, and she said within 2 minutes it was changed back. So there's a surveillance system that is, you know, continuously surveying all of the stuff that's on Wikipedia to make sure that the mainstream conventional thinking people are getting their message, which is controlled. It's like Nazi Germany. It's like propagandizing the population.
It's sad. It really is very, very sad when you think about it, the big scope. And it's all about money. It's really all about money. We are on the right track with the CSNA and our students. We are on the right track. So I just like to thank Stephanie so much for her special guest interview. And keep finding those interviews, Corey. They're fantastic. And I know everybody else enjoyed them, too.
Right on. Well, that was a good one. So what's your hot topic today?
Well, my hot topic is analyzing your client's diet. This is an excerpt from the CSNA Module 7, Achieving Your Ideal Body Weight. Now, it's interesting because I am training a client right now, and I asked her to, you know, just give me an idea about what she eats during the day, you know, well, you know, in a week, let's say. Well, you and I looked at her diet, and it's like, okay, high sugar, no essential fatty acids, no raw food, a lot of coffee, a lot of sugar, and it's like, oh, boy. You know, like cookies and chocolate bars, but just little bite-sized chocolate bars and little banana puddings and coffee with tons of cream in it and about 4 or 5 coffees a day. The only thing that I liked about what she had on her diet chart was that she upped her water since I started working with her, and she incorporated a protein shake. So that was the only 2 good things on it. And then I talked to her about it. Now, you have to be very sensitive when you're talking to people about their diet, because it's like a religion to them. You know, if you start condemning them about their diet, they'll put their back up. They won't talk to you anymore. So you have to be very, very careful about that, which I've found out over the years. So I just incorporate things. I say, keep doing what you're doing, and let's just incorporate more water and a protein shake with fresh fruit and vegetables in it. However, she said, well, my diet's a lot better than anybody else I know. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know. Then I start thinking, I am so far ahead. We are so far ahead in our diet and our thinking about why we eat what we eat and why we do what we do, as opposed to the mainstream, right?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I think that, let's say that you're familiar with a scientific axiom that lots of people have no idea what that means. Now, could we say that you're further ahead, that you're enlightened, that you're aware? The only difference is that you've been trained and that you've sought out the knowledge and you've studied the research and you found out what the word axiom is. For example, just go up to a person on the street and say, what does the word axiom mean? I would say 9 out of 10 couldn't answer the question, because their knowledge of science is equal to their knowledge of, I don't know, the number of subatomic particles that are now currently identified. They just have no knowledge because they never study it. They're not concerned about it. They're concerned about other things. So I think that the goal is to stay well for life and free of disease and pathology and infection, to actually know that that's possible. A lot of people don't think it's possible. They just think you're going to fall apart. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter what you eat or how you live. But you see, they're not aware of the scientific facts, because that
exactly
is not true.
Exactly. Well, I think I'm farther ahead in the way that I understand it. I'm still going to die. I'm still going to, you know, have ailments and fall ill on occasion, because we're humans and humans do. But the body can heal itself, but you must give it the right tools. And I think that I've warded off my disease or kept it at bay because we do what we do. And I was mentioning, I said, it's all, she goes, oh, I said, well, we're going to train. It's, I mean, I'm available to train. I mean, I have a very, my schedule is very flexible. So I said, what do you want to do? She goes, every other day. But then she couldn't do one day, and she had to do back to back, a Monday and a Tuesday. And she was like, oh, I was just dreading doing 2 days in a row. And I said, you really have to change your attitude. She hired me. I did not solicit. I don't solicit anybody. They come to me. And I said, well, why did you hire me? What is it? You must want some changes to see in your body. And you've got to, you should be embracing the fact that you can afford to take coaching sessions and that you're going to the gym and we're going to talk together and we're going to help you in your life. And she's going through menopause right now. You know, change the way you think. And from this excerpt that you had written, Corey, in the CSNA, Achieving Your Ideal Body Weight, it says, action is controlled by thought and not the other way around. So that's really important. It's what you think, right? So we always have the power to choose, unless you believe in demon possession or that you are a puppet on a string. And so we are the ones who act in response to the temptation, not the muffin, not the cake, not the candy or whatever. Also accept the fact that we are unlike penguins and wildebeest, that we have the ability to reason. So that's what we have to do. Start thinking about the good things, about what you're going to get from it. That's what sustains me. Do I always want to walk a half an hour to the gym in the freezing cold at 7:30 in the morning? No, but I do it. I get up and I go, and once I'm on the road, I start to meditate, and you think about the good things, and you feel good. It's over and done with. But it's all about that attitude. It's all about what you think about. It's thought creates action. I totally am into that one. So
it's also called foresight. You know, humans have the capacity to think ahead. In other words, they can create in their mind a consequence that has yet to happen or will never occur. Most animals, probably 95, 98% of them, I think that some of the higher primates, maybe whales, porpoises, ravens, octopi, these things might be able to do it to some extent, because we're learning new things about animals that we were told in the past that were not true, that they can think and they can conceptualize too, but just not to the degree. We can take something to an enormous amount of steps in the future, like a chess master who can respond in his brain thinking, if he moves this way or this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, he's already got the possibilities in his mind laid out. Now, no other animal can do that, but you have to think. You actually have to think. The power of thought is about choosing to do that, and it takes energy, and it takes force, and it takes discipline, as opposed to mindlessness, where you don't think about anything. You just kind of float along and go with the flow and do whatever everyone else is doing.
Well, and then nothing changes in your life. I mean, something's not working. If I say to somebody, it's not working for you, so they're change it. Oh, well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't change that. Well, why not? This is not working. That's the part I don't understand. If something's not working, flippin' change it. Change it, right?
There's some pretty weird psychology and people going out there. There's the one idea where people want to suffer because they have such low self-esteem, and they had it pounded into their brain from birth that they're worthless. And so therefore, they actually seek to suffer. They feel comfortable when they're being slapped around, either physically.
It's a comfort zone.
It's a comfort zone. That's what they're used to. And then that's the kind of person they marry. They marry into that kind of comfort zone.
Something else you wrote down, it says, many of us will have to undo years of negligence and abuse, but the remedy isn't nearly as complicated as putting it in motion day in and day out. And this is where consistency is the key. So you have to be like a kid. You have to learn how to be potty trained. You have to learn how to wipe your butt. You have to learn how to brush your teeth. And a lot of times we don't feel like doing it, but it's got to be done. So, you know, just consistency is the key. And like I said before, if it's not working, change it. That's why my client is with me now, because whatever she's doing isn't working in her life and she wants to change it. So I say, buck up and be an adult. We're not 2 or 3 years old anymore. You know, the older I get, the more mouthy I am. You know, it's amazing. But nonetheless, that's my hot topic for today. I'm sure that a lot of the people who are listening to SNU right now have the same issues with their clients, that they don't want to make the changes and they fight it tooth and nail. But nonetheless, stay on track. And I'm doing the work, you're doing the work, and I know a lot of people out there are doing the work. So keep up the good work.
Yes, and I was going to say that I don't know if I agree with what you said, that you're getting more mouthy. I think that you've always been mouthy. And I think that you've always had something to say about something or other. So maybe that's why I was attracted to you, because like attracts like. And with that in mind, what is your final word?
My final word is by Louis Buscaglia. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.